Yeah, this is ridiculous. But he really admires you.
But K. Graham thought so too.
K. Graham thought so.
And that's interesting at a time when our goals are no longer all the same.
And the mood, what I found so interesting was that the mood of respect for you, usually at these dinner parties, I'm the only one who speaks for you. All the others make snide little comments. But this time, it was really absolutely extraordinary, totally unexpected. I thought that they would say, you're sliding, you're losing the grip on
reasons that they have, that's secure, that's interesting. That was really all right.
Well, what shook Missy was that she had been at a meeting of the Population Control Council where the black members had started talking revolution.
She's a good Catholic.
And she didn't like that.
And
that shook her. But above all, she liked her speech. She said, of course we can't get out of Vietnam. And
she said,
and I was really prepared.
The other person certainly went, Joe, how was Joe?
Well, of course, I put him aside. Joe,
Joe's really good.
Oh, yeah.
You don't like Cali, but otherwise he shields him. Joe realizes, though, that somebody, if he thinks about it, curse Cali. I know Cali's no good. We all knew that. But not even a man that we have such respect for as Connolly was in there saying, look, let's fire him right away. Take the sting. But we didn't do it.
No,
we compared
to
the course. We stood the course. I did the two things that anybody should do. You should not be in Leavenworth waiting trial, and they might find he's not guilty. Right?
Absolutely. Joe thinks we're producing a Middle East war, and I don't
consider it.
They made a very stupid comment this week. They said the State Department was asked about these Russian arms shipments to the Middle East, and he said they in effect said the Israelis brought it on themselves. That's a stupid thing to say because that encourages them. But I leave that aside because we can always rescue that when we have to.
McNamara, Ben Bradley.
Ben Bradley, he's just taking a trip around the world. And he said he'd never thought he'd reached the point where he could say that President Nixon's conducting the right foreign policy, but that's his view. He was in Vietnam, he came back enthusiastic, apparently.
Isn't it funny, though, that they've done this and it's a little against their papers?
Yeah. Well, he claims that while he was there, he made Peter Jay write one very favorable article about the Laos operation.
There was one, but
and I think that's probably the one.
Strange.
But
it must have been a good evening for you then.
Well, usually I'm in there like a punch drunk fighter. When they started going around the table,
you thought, oh boy.
I felt, oh boy, here it's me again.
Maybe they were just saying for your benefit.
No. Oh, they've never said it for my benefit. And after all, the dinner was in honor of Mrs. Chandler. And she spoke last. But she didn't. So.
And see, Joe's carrying that paper was good as the old man there, Otis.
No.
Missy's actually a very pretty person. She used to be, and she's still
very attractive.
I had a couple of thoughts. I noticed the news summary today. Those goddamn networks, two of them still have the war as number one. How the hell are they doing?
Firebase 6. One miserable battle.
You know, really. They're desperately trying to keep the war open.
Yeah.
And the news. No. The newspapers are much more responsible than the whole war in the news since my speech.
That's right.
But these afternoon networks have been in two out of two.
Well, but China will take it on today. True and Lie gave an interview to that ping pong team. He's such a subtle guy.
Yeah.
In which he said that this begins a new era of Chinese American relations.
Really?
Yeah.
So the ping pong team. You know, but they really drive that near the interests. Two questions. Right now, are we unnecessarily irritating the Russians about this right now?
Well, I am lightly, I'm thinking this, Mr. President. Well, first of all, my call to the Freedom was a good move.
Well, you think I may have been too eager?
Oh, no.
No, I wondered, in light of this, whether or not you...
No, I just called him to congratulate him on the Central Committee election.
Yeah, but I mean, you call him and then today we wham.
Well, I think what I might do is to get this fellow Vorontsov over here again and say, now look, our top priority is the relation with you.
That's right. This is something that's been in the works for 6 months.
And now let's not miss the opportunity.
Yeah.
I might do that because Dobrynin is coming back, but he's coming back with some instructions because first Vorontsov, the way this call came to pass was this. I told Vorontsov it's too boring, the technical details, how Rush was going to talk to Abrasimov, because we have to be able to get rid of interpreters for that. And I just want to make sure that they didn't screw it up. Then he said that he had noticed I had said some friendly things about the Brezhnev speech, and that pleased him very much, and he slobbered all over me. And he said that the ambassador would come back with new instructions on Sunday, and they hoped...
He said we should pay attention to the Brezhnev speech.
Yes, and he said, no, you noticed that we were paying constructive attention, because I had said on Air Force One, that it was a conciliatory speech coming when it came back to California.
And he said we should.
Right, then I said as a joke, I said, you know, your ambassador gave me his phone number in Moscow and I lost it and it's too late in the day now anyway to call it, there's an 8-hour difference. Otherwise I'd congratulate him for his, on his election to the Central Committee, why don't you do it for me? A half hour later they called over and they said the time difference is of no account, why don't you call him, it would please him very much. And gave me the Moscow phone number, which, as you know, they don't give out Moscow phone numbers.
No.
Well, I called him in Moscow, I said, I just want to congratulate you, and I said, I just want to tell you, I discussed some procedural things with your man here. He said, was it about the exchange of letters, because I'll have something to say about that. I said, oh no, they're the purely technical things. And he said, well, I'm coming back with new instructions on Sunday. He was very, Hague listened into it on it, and he said it was.
Of course, the instructions, well, we've been through this before, Henry.
But look,
the instructions could turn the other way, too.
I doubt it. They could, but I doubt it. I'm looking at it from Brezhnev's point of view now. Brezhnev has two choices. He can't continue the way he's going. He's got to break out one way or the other, just as we do. So he's going to go either very tough. I think it's premature for him.
Well,
he's going to go the way we want him to go. Not to help, certainly not to help us out. You see, I'm beginning to think we can get that ambassador into Peking before the year, before another calendar year has passed.
I'm awfully glad that you called.
I said you had asked me to.
Oh,
I
always say that. I don't care. Anybody you call always say that.
And but he couldn't have been more delighted.
In Montana. No, he's in Florida.
Well, he was some. He had just returned to Washington. I caught him just as he entered his apartment.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, I cannot tell you the president is making a historic contribution, and whatever our differences, I'm with him 100%." And
we will use him sometime for that mission. Be perfect to go.
Oh, yeah.
Decent, responsible.
Of course, Mr. President, you do deserve the credit for this. We have been building every...
Well, Henry, that's why I stuck it in. I gave it to Peterson before he went to Time Life. I know the state again leaked something out in the press there today. They expected we would have something to say
on their recommendation.
On the recommendation, yeah. On the recommended on trade and also on the UN representation. God damn it, I want the story leaked out. It's got to get out to somebody.
Yeah.
That state opposed this when it happened. Now they did.
Mr. President.
Marshall Green opposed it.
First they opposed it. Secondly, when they didn't oppose it, every initiative was designed in this building. Most of them by you. The idea of, they don't even know about it. We sent two messages through Yaya, three messages through Yaya.
I mean, even on the trade then.
We sent a message through Saint-Denis. We sent on the trade saying we took the initiative both times. I mean, they gave us the specific measures, but we were the ones that said, give us the measures. Timing was all done here.
I'm sure that this one, they've been screwing us so much on leaks, now we're going to screw them on this one. I just think just a little lightly.
But I think this China thing is completely confusing our opponents also. That's a tremendous break.
You really think it is?
Oh, yeah. I just can't tell what else is going on. And of course, there are. I think, Mr. President, this is going to have a significant backwash on Hanoi.
That's the point that I think you, that I hadn't thought of, but you're right. They've got to worry about our looking at China. They have no confidence to trust another communist.
No Vietnamese trusts any foreigner, so they must think that they could become an insignificant plaything. And they must figure, as they correctly do, that unless the Chinese were very worried about the Russians. See, I think if Brezhnev jumps anyone, it will be the Chinese, not us.
He's not going to jump us.
And if he's not going to jump us, he's got to go the other way, Miller. Anything else will look like stagnation. And he needs some sort of big leadership ploy. In my view, it's a coincidence of needs. We need a leadership ploy and he needs one.
Yeah. It's fascinating at that point down there to say, they may have just said it for your benefit.
Never.
They don't do it.
Mr. President, I go to 2 dinners a week with that crowd and they've been tearing me to pieces for 2.5 years. Why should they do
it? I think they've got damn sentence after us and everything else.
No, I think it's the combination of your speech, Mr. President.
China.
Plus China. But also your speech. This speech had a different effect from the November 3rd speech. The sheer unadulterated guts of stepping up there and sticking to your guns. One of the things they kept saying, it actually isn't the conclusion so much.
No, I know, not for them.
What they kept saying is, how could he say, you hold me accountable? I said to them, look, he's going to be held accountable anyway, whether he says it or not.
That's right.
And he has absolute confidence in what he's doing.
Yeah.
But that was the one that they all mentioned. They said the tremendous guts of stepping up there when people were arguing end of draft, withdrawal rates, and holding your course. Missy started telling stories. She claims to know you very well.
Sure.
And how you had always been a very thoughtful man, a very sensitive man. I had never done that for my benefit. Ben Bradley is a tough, mean cynic.
I called him once, though, and thanked him for some articles.
Yeah, but...
he's a mean bastard.
But he is a tough, mean cynic.
I know.
And I've gone to these dinners, Mr. President, for...
I think McNamara's presence helped, though,
yeah, but they don't know that one.
Oh.
He didn't speak first.
Sure.
No, the first person who spoke was Alex Longman. That was easy. Ben Bradley was the second.
Alice spoke third. She just said it. She didn't think the others had it.
She said that others were in the presidential caliber, and that you had been an outstanding president, that she had always thought you had tremendous stature. Ties to her, she had admired you as vice president.
Just a couple of things. What the hell is this draft talk about? Or do I have you, you're considering this now?
Yes, I'm on the list, yeah. The major thing we need from them is the, there are two problems. One is the House increased the pay to $1.7 billion, and that's going to come out of the defense budget. But they should reduce it to the two-step increase. And it's the ABM.
We're going to get ABM in favor of 4 years next. I don't think we can carry it. Instead, Holland is gone. Both of them replaced by weak men. Both voted against SST. We've lost two votes. As far as they're concerned, anyone maybe out of that bunch. Whiter will be with us. Bell, they're probably Taft, maybe. We lost two from California and Illinois, see. Governor Smith, we lost, see. From ADM and Munichsevich. But we know probably what that means, that our discussions with this son of a bitch, when he comes back. If there is, if you gotta remember, there isn't much to deal with. To me, the worst of both worlds would be for us to get nothing. To be beaten in the center of the thing. Or you just forget any kind of, you know, that assault is dead. Absolutely dead. I think you should know that while you must play the game, that we're going to go forward with the ADM and your talks with it. That would assume, therefore, need an agreement.
Oh, I recognize that, Mr. President.
Well, as I said, we have to recognize it not because it's right, but because we can't get it otherwise. That's all there is to it. So we've got to figure it out.
Well, they give us one more year. You see, if
Henry, if you get any kind of letter or any kind of even a half-assed statement, you can get another year. That's
well, right. We'll get a half-assed statement by June 1st.
If you do that, we can
I think
we can say
I don't know. I don't know why I'm so confident, because if they figure we're going to lose it anyway, why should they make a deal?
Yeah, well, maybe they aren't so sure. We've surprised them before. I think maybe that's part of it. I think you should know that it's awful tough. The ADM one is very tough because of the way the damn split has come. If we just figured what happened in our state, it'd be fine. But the two Southerners that we lost, God damn, and they may be better. Better than they.
You may vote for that.
By the way, there were the bears.
I think you'll vote for that.
From the heat on, but as it may, you ought to. I think that when he gets back, he probably will have something to say. I don't want this damn Chinese action to infuriate them so that much that they figure they got to keep us waiting a month.
They are tough customers, Mr. President. They don't play it that way. And I think our experience with them now has been that whenever we put it to them, when he comes back, I'm going to tell him that if we don't settle it in 2 weeks, I'll send him back to the State Department. That's what goes for broke on it.
That's right.
That I won't deal with him anymore. If we can't settle a simple matter like a sole exchange of letters in this channel, nothing worth doing.
Sure.
You know, if it fails, it fails. If Tesla fails, but I don't think it will fail. And really, I think these Russians are so tough that if they have any sense of insecurity on our part, they will be impressed by this Chinese thing. If we give them a way out, they'll get them that message to say that our priority is Soviet relations, and that it's really
after
them.
Get that to Barabzov.
Yeah, just so, because they're meeting tomorrow.
He'll really report it.
Yeah. Thursday is the Politburo meeting there.
All right. Oh, another thing. They did launch that raid yesterday, or they're going today.
They've started, didn't they, movement, yeah. The first part of it is inside South Vietnam. Down the Ashland Valley.
Well, you're right about one thing. We are not anxious, Henry, at this point. Particularly at this point, too. They've got to take any risks on our casualties. It just isn't worth it.
No.
You got too many other fish fry.
No, we've got, I've always been for a tough policy in the Vietnam, but we've got to cool it a bit.
Henry, we've given them everything up. I mean, they followed everything up. We just got to. We have to do a little bit different game.
Yep, I told them that. We can't have it. We can't have many helicopter losses. Because we are now, if we get this Chinese thing is deflating matters, with hand a break, we should get that salt thing wrapped up.
Salt thing. You think the China will have something? Salt thing will have one enormous wall.
That's 2 weeks more. And then, if the salt thing works, we'll have the summit by the middle of May, and then we have benefits, I'm afraid.
Such as
oh, it's good. And on salt, the state won't be able to leak a damn thing because they won't know it until you're ready to do it.
And the summit, they won't be able to leak a thing because they don't know it either. Now, I on the summit, as soon as it gets down to any kind of an understanding, we ought to get it out. You understand?
Nope. Oh, no,
let it hang around. Because Bean is going to get it back to state, too. You know, you can't trust any of our people.
Yeah, but they don't talk to Bean.
Yeah. Oh. Don't let it even get around the channel. It's just got to be the son of mine. It's got to be the moment that it's her, we've got to get an agreement to announce it. I mean, anytime you're ready, don't try to taste the summit announcement. Some announcement should come just as quick as we can get it. I had to wait.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, there was times before we didn't want to have it go, but now, you see, we're not doing it anymore in Vietnam. So therefore, we don't have to keep it for that reason.
The only reason would be entirely your own, whether you wanted salt and summit to close on it.
No, I'd like to have them one day after another.
Yeah. Well,
if we could do it, I don't care.
That they probably won't want to do, but...
I don't care. That shows you how little difference it makes. The main thing, pod pacing is not important now. That will set them talking. Press corps here will be writing spec stories and so forth, fighting to get out over there and trying to, determine who's going to get to go and who's going to cover it and all. The American president, if there's a Russia that comes, you realize what that's going to be. And the show you ever saw in the world.
I think maybe another thing I ought to tell Voronzo, which I've told the briefing yet, just so that we get it into the system, that August is no longer possible for a summit. We've got to have it in the first half of September.
We can agree that I have a very important schedule right through Labor Day, but I can leave the day after the
so that we don't waste any exchanges of...
Yeah. I fall on that, but that's a good thing.
One reason why it's a pleasure to deal with these kinds of pitches is you know that you can't hurt their feelings.
No.
You can get them mad. And that's why that would be useful if I tried to do that.
That's quite interesting.
But all our experts were again wrong. All of them said it would hurt us with the Laos, would hurt with the Chinese, with the Soviets, and with everybody else. It hasn't. If anything, it helped with the Chinese.
Well, let's look at the little speech to our congressional experts and some of our staff here. But it wouldn't have made a goddamn bit of difference. 16,000 wouldn't have been if they just started right down eating us alive with something else.
That's right.
Would make any difference in it?
Bryce Harlow says it doesn't make any difference what we say in Vietnam. The Democrats will try to top us.
Sure.
No,
they can't let us end the war.
They cannot afford it.
Whatever it is, they don't want us to succeed now. They are really terrified at the thought that a war they began, we end.
And you did not do what in policy you're a liberal Republican, but what a blood brother would have done, what a Lindsay or even a Rockefeller would have done.
Right.
Talking to them and weeping with them.
That's right. About all these problems. No, sir.
It's that way you kept to your course.
That seems to affect those people last night.
I have said not since I've been here.
Maybe they just like a little toughness, strangely enough.
After November 3rd, their attitude was, well, the American people are such a bunch of boobs.
That's right.
That it's all right that the president took advantage of them.
Right.
After Cambodia, they were first foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
And then they didn't know what to say or do. But this time, and I was totally unprepared, and believe me, I've been at the dinner where I hear a good thing about you is
rare.
From anybody is rare, but a consensus is unbelievable, which never happened. John Freeman and I, now that he's gone, practically I alone, are the only people that stood up for the administration of these sexes. don't always get vicious, but they always see snide comments. But this time there was a tremendous aura of respect. I was so excited about it that I called you right away, but you had already retired. Was it not a good call? Oh. Anyway, I couldn't reach you, and but that will reflect itself too. But Stuart Alsop was terribly sheepish. But I found Missy very interesting.
That's very important.
And she somehow I think she's the stronger of the two.
Oh yes, smarter too. And you're going to get the is the China thing going to be put on for cigarette?
I didn't know. They are something. Last week on your speech, we didn't hear from them for 4 days. Not a word. They've been on the phone every 10 minutes. Whom they can send it to? Can they have messages? Can they give it to Utah? Can they do this, that, and the other?
Best speech around when I made last.
Oh, yes. Getting a very good set of reactions from the people to whom you sent your world report to. I think Bradley mentioned to me on his trip that the respect for you as a statesman around the world, he wasn't prepared.